All right, church, let's gather back together. Let's continue with worship this morning. The youth, y'all might know this one. Maybe y'all sang that this last week. I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages, yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. Filled my brokenness, showed me your glory, so I have songs of thanks not even angels sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Who shed his blood, you proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ, be lifted up. Holy, holy Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is to come, seated on the throne above. Holy, holy righteous one, who shed his blood, you prove to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ, he lifted up. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only in Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Is worthy. There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who is no one, only you, Jesus. There is no one, only you, Jesus.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep. Is more where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
They're back. It's so good. So good to see y'all. So excited. We're gonna hear from some of these guys over the next month or so that you might hear what the Lord has done in their life. I know you prayed for them last week, and so can't wait to hear some of their testimonies. Guys, we're still worshiping God. We've been worshiping God through song. We've done some of that through fellowship. And now we're going to worship God through sacrifice or through giving. And listen, one of the reasons we give is simply out of an act of obedience. We just sang a couple songs, right? Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy of first place in your life? Honestly, who else is worthy of your obedience? Amen? Who else is worthy? Is anybody else worthy of your all? My answer would be no, right? No. And so we want to honor the Lord, and we want to live the way that God tells us to live, and this is one of those ways. And some people like to talk about the tithe, and they say, well, that's just an Old Testament thing, right? They brought in a tenth. That was just in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Listen, Jesus had an opportunity. They talked to him about the tithe. He had an opportunity to dismiss all of that and say, no, that doesn't exist anymore. Just give from your heart, right? Because from the overflow of the heart, not only does our mouth speak, but I think that's where all things come from. But you know what he said? He said, you know what? They were talking about tenth of dill and their mint and their spices. He says, you should have done that as well as had mercy and compassion on your brother, right? And so, guys, this is still an act of obedience. So here's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. If you're not one of those people, you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't even know where to start. Start somewhere. I know that word tithe means tenth. I think that's the floor, by the way. That's where we need to get to so that that's our floor. But I know life is hard, right? I mean, has anybody tried to buy meat at the grocery store lately? Good golly, right? I think I will be a vegetarian soon, and not by choice. It's fine. It's fine. I heard crickets are great. I got plenty of them on my property. But this matters. This matters. It's a reflection of our heart. It's a posture of worship. So I want to challenge you this morning. Start somewhere, and then let's work our way to trying to get to that floor that the Bible has set for us. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I want to tell you there's a couple ways you can give. You can use the envelopes in the chair in front of you if you're writing a check or you have cash. We've got offering boxes in the back on your way out beneath those posters that say worship through giving. You can also just scan the QR code on the screen. It'll take you to our online giving provider, PushPay. They are totally secure. We love them. And you'll notice us. You'll see our little logo there. And so what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to pray. And then we're going to raise up the lights. We're going to give you about a minute to respond to the Lord in obedience through giving, okay? Father, we want to worship you not just with words. We want to worship you with everything that we are. Because who else is worthy of our life? You who have given everything for us so that we might have life everlasting. Who else is worthy of our time and attention, focus? So God, now we just want to honor you. God, now we just want to obey you. We just want to step into it. And whether someone this morning is giving out of money that they got from babysitting or allowance or the first paycheck they've had in a long time, God, I pray that you would see their heart behind it and that you would bless them today. Jesus, we love you. We honor you now with these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. We're going to turn up the lights. We're going to give you a few minutes to respond to the Lord in giving. Thanks. Guys, man, I am excited to continue our summer sermon series with you. We're walking through the book of Acts. We've seen God do some amazing things as the birth of his church has occurred. And now the people of God are filled with the Spirit of God. God is living inside of them and they are changed. They're a changed people. They're spirit empowered. They're radically devoted to God, to one another. And man, every week in this study, it seems that the section we finished with ends with these words, and God added to their number daily. In fact, the growth was so radical. It happened so fast that it caused some problems. And we talked about that last week. God's solution for his church is that he raised up these servant leaders, seven men full of the Spirit and wisdom, and he called them deacons, right? And so this morning, we're going to talk about one of those deacons, a man named Stephen. If you have your Bibles, we're still in Acts chapter 6, and we'll get into Acts chapter 7 this morning. Also want to ask you to grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, that is okay. We have a digital version, but we do want you to take notes. So scan the QR code on the screen if you didn't get one of these. Take digital notes. I'll tell you a little trick on those digital notes. If you're not a good speller, you can actually click. There's a little section you can say, reveal the answer, okay? Don't cheat, though. I don't like it. I don't like that it's there, all right? Because then you're looking ahead. You're like, I already know, and then you tune out. Don't tune out, all right? Do your best to spell it. It's going to be great. Before I pray for us, I want to introduce a young lady to you. She is going to be a senior next year, Caitlin Anderson. Y'all give it up. As a church, we prayed for our students last week while they were out. Wanted to make sure you heard how the Lord was moving in their lives. So here over the next several weeks, we're going to have some students come up and give us a brief testimony. Talk to us, Caitlin, about all that God did.
Yes, so like you just said, my name is Caitlin Anderson. I'm an incoming senior, and I got to go to camp with all these amazing people right here. And going into camp, I had realized that I believed a lie, that I needed to clean myself up before God would be able to use me. When I failed, I would try to make it up to God instead of coming to him honestly and openly. And instead of accepting forgiveness, I would run from him and try to fix it myself. Throughout our days at camp, God taught me that he wants me to confess my sin and that he'll always be there with open arms. This year, we were going through the Beatitudes, a passage in Matthew, and the pastor talked to us about being humble. This wasn't just a humbleness for interacting with people around you. It's also a humbleness whenever you're interacting with God. He taught us that a form of pride when talking to God is believing that you can fix yourself up for him or that you can do it on your own. So on that night, I felt that God told me I needed to give myself space to be broken and humble instead of just trying to be perfect. I realized that I didn't need to come with my own efforts to be good enough, but rather with the humbleness that acknowledges that I can never measure up to God, and also an understanding that he sent Jesus to us because he knew that we were going to make mistakes and that we wouldn't be able to measure up on our own. Throughout the rest of the week, God continued to help me understand his character and his forgiveness. The next day during quiet time, we read about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. In this story, Jesus approaches a woman who has a lot of sin and issues, and she's very looked down upon by her community. But Jesus doesn't come to her to shame her, or to show that he's disappointed by that sin. He already knows that it is there. He acknowledges it and immediately offers her a solution, which is living water and eternal life. This story showed me the true character of God and uprooted that lie that I had believed, that I needed to clean myself up. God already knows what we have done wrong, and it doesn't make us too broken to be used by him. I learned that he doesn't want us to feel all of that shame from our sin. He wants to take away that shame with our confession of sin and replace it with his love and with his forgiveness. Thank you.
Now I can just say amen. We've already been to church, right? Let's go. Let's go. So good. Man, keep coming back this month. I want you to continue to hear these stories from these students. Guys, before we jump into God's word, I'm going to ask you where you are to pray with me. Would you bow your heads real quick? You know how this goes. If you've been here before, if you're just visiting, it's okay. You can do this. We're all going to pray together. I want you to first start by praying for yourself this simple prayer, God, speak to me. Just say that to him right now. God, speak to me. You can even add what we learned last week. God, empty me. Fill me. Use me. Right? God, speak to me. Now take a moment and pray for those next to you. If you know them well enough, you can even grab their hand. They know that you're praying for them. Take a moment and pray for them. God, speak to them. And then, church, I would ask humbly that you take a moment and pray for me. You pray that God would speak through me. Father God, thank you so much for your love, for your constant pursuit of us. And Jesus, thank you for choosing to come, to live the life we couldn't, to die the death that we deserve, that we might be set free. Help us understand that freedom. Help us understand this text today. Holy Spirit, grant us wisdom. Come and fill this pulpit, fill our minds and our hearts, and teach us about the things of God from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Acts chapter 6 and starting in verse 8. And it's kind of where we left off. And so verse 7 said, so the word of God spread. Again, that's how it ended once the disciples were there. Here's verse 8. It says, now Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from some members of the freedmen's synagogue, composed of both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, and they began to argue with Stephen. But they were unable to stand up against his wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred the people, the elders and the scribes, so they came and they seized him and they took him to the Sanhedrin. They also presented false witnesses who said, this man never stopped speaking against this holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses has handed down to us. And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Are these things true? The high priest asked. Now this is Stephen speaking. Brothers and fathers, he replied, listen. The glory of God appeared to our father, Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia. Now, I'm going to stop there. Brothers and fathers, listen. I want you to go home today and read the whole speech. It is amazing. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to retrace the history of Israel. He's going to start with Abraham. He's going to talk about Joseph. He's going to talk about Moses. He's going to talk about the wilderness wandering. He's going to talk about the tabernacle. And he's going to talk about the temple. And here's the theme. Ready? You guys are accusing me of blasphemy. Here's the truth. Your forefathers are the ones that rejected Moses. And oh, by the way, they've rejected every prophet. And you are just like them because you yourselves had rejected the ultimate prophet. Prophet, the Messiah, the one and only Son of God who came to save the world. And this is how that speech will end. Now I'm in chapter 7, starting in verse 51. He ends this speech by saying, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You were always resisting the Holy Spirit. As your ancestors did, you also do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They even killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. Just listen to the weight of those words. You received the law under the direction of angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were enraged, and they gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They yelled at the top of their voices and covered their ears together, and they rushed against him. They dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And after saying this, he died. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's hard, right? So let's talk about it. What do we learn from this deacon? We just met the deacons last week, and one has already perished. What do we learn? I've got three things I want to share with you guys. Here's the first. I want you to know that whatever fills you will flow out of you. Can I say that again? Whatever fills you will flow out of you. Sometimes that seems too simple to us, but this is the heart of what Jesus said. When he said, from the overflow of the heart, our mouth speaks. I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and my students would come to me, and they would say things like, Pastor Jason, I just want to stop cussing. Right, Jason, can you help me stop cussing? Or the guys would say, man, I'm so tired of struggling with lust. I just want to beat it. Or the young ladies would say, I hate the fact that I hate myself. I hate the way that I feel about myself. What do I do? And so we would use this principle, just talk about it this way. Say, man, you've got to stop putting that garbage, taking that garbage in. And the phrase is garbage in, garbage out. What flows in, right, will flow out. That's the simple truth. What fills you will flow out of you. And so just tell the man, you can't listen to that stuff. Girls, you can't read those magazines, or now it's blogs or Instagram with all of those perfect, pretty Photoshop faces and bodies that have been removed, because they're trying to sell you something. They just want to put that out there so they can sell what their advertisers are paying them. It's all about money. Right? And the same thing with young men. You're looking at these images, went like, no, man, you garbage in, garbage out. What fills you will flow out of you. And so we get to this life of Stephen. You go, man, and by the way, that's certainly true, especially in pressure moments. What fills you flows out of you. So here's Stephen, and the pressure is on. And what flows out of Stephen in this moment? When his life is literally on the line, what flows out of him? What flows out of him is God. What flows out of him is the story of God, is the gospel of God. What flows out of him is courage, right, to stand up and to speak about Jesus, the one and only Son of God. Why does that happen? How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, because of what he had filled himself with. Luke goes out of his way to describe what Stephen is filled with. Okay, let's walk through it. It's on the screen. But start in verse 3, as he just talked about deacons as a whole. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. There's 2 things, right? Spirit and wisdom. You're going to hear Spirit a couple more times here. Acts 6:5, this proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Spirit, wisdom, faith, Holy Spirit. So Spirit's been mentioned twice. Acts 6:8. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And then 7:55, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 3 times it mentions that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. It also says he was full of God's wisdom, he was full of faith, he was full of grace, and he was full of power. So when the pressure was on, what poured out naturally? What he was full of. You follow me? Right? What poured out naturally is what he was full of. A lot of times, and you hear it, if you've been in our church at any point in the last few years, you've heard us, we talk about the mission of God constantly. We continually say it's God's will for your life that you be his witness, that you go out into a watching world, and then you testify about what God has done for you. But when I say that, most people do this, I don't know. I don't know that I can do that, Pastor. I don't know that God can use me. I'm afraid that I'm going to mess it up. I don't know what to say. We get super nervous, and here's what I want to say to you. Ready? Don't be. Don't worry about it. Here's what you need to do instead. Ready? Make sure you're full of God. Just focus on that. Listen to this promise from Jesus. It's so good. This is Luke 12:11. He's talking to his disciples. Now listen, they're not going to stand before a friend and have to testify. They're going to stand before people that literally want to put them to death. And listen to what Jesus tells them. Because talk about fear and worry, right? Talk about the pressure. And listen to what he says to them. He says, whenever they bring you before the synagogues, which Stephen is now before, he's before the Sanhedrin and the rulers and the authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. Jesus says, don't worry about it, right? He says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what must be said. What fills you flows out of you. You guys follow me? So if you're focused on God and you're just allowing God to fill you, if you're constantly seeking him and worshiping him and talking to him and living a community with others, the more that is poured in, the more that will naturally flow out when that time comes, okay? So that's the first thing, man. Whatever fills you flows out of you. Second thing I want to share with you is that the key to living for God is keeping your eyes fixed on the Savior instead of the stones. The key to living for God is keeping your eyes fixed on the Savior instead of the stones. Talk about living for God, we're still talking about this mission, right? So don't listen, don't mistake this. This is a trap, right? This is a trap. It was set on purpose. The religious rulers, they are planning on killing Stephen. And we know it because of the text. Just look at verse 10 and 11. It says, but they were unable to stand against his wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. They're not able to stand up against it. These are well-educated religious rulers, and yet Stephen is speaking with such authority and power, they've got nothing. They cannot stop the work of God that's happening in the ministry of Stephen. And so what do? They hatch a plan. The next verse, it says that they secretly persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. So listen, whether they paid them or they said, hey, we'll give you a special place, we don't know what it was, but they get people to lie. Right? And here's the lie. He is speaking blasphemy. Listen, the penalty for blasphemy is death. All right? Like, that's the trap. It goes on. It says they present false witnesses. Say he's speaking against the temple, against the ways of Moses. They have come into this meeting, whether they have picked them up or not yet, with stones in their hand. Stephen knows exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill him. He knows it. So what does he do? Does he focus on the stones? Does he step back in fear and go, man, I'll back off a little bit. These guys are pretty worked up. You know, I'll just let them do whatever and come back at this some other time. Is that what? No. What does he do? He stands up boldly to who literally are the religious leaders of the day. And he says, you are just like your forefathers who killed all the prophets. And you yourself murdered the one and only Son of God. He's telling them, you need to repent, not me. Right? He has this boldness to speak. And where does that boldness come from? Again, it's what he's full of, but it's also where his eyes are fixed. The Apostle Paul, who, by the way, we don't even know him as Paul yet. We just met him today, and the dude's name is Saul. He's approving of the stoning of Stephen. There's some good things coming for him, but eventually that dude's going to write about half of the books of the New Testament in his letters and his epistles, and he'll write one day what Stephen is doing here. He's setting his minds on things above, not on earthly things. Stephen's making this active choice. Again, Paul will eventually write these things, Philippians 1:21, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. The crowd is enraged. They're full of rage. They're full of anger. And yet Stephen is full of love and peace because of what his eyes are fixed on. And the text tells us exactly what his eyes are fixed on. Chapter 7, verse 56. Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. His eyes were fixed on the Savior, not on the stones. I'm going to tell you a little something in life. Ready? Here it is. You're going to get some rocks thrown at you. Period. Okay? And sometimes they'll be from places you expect it. Right? Sometimes they're going to be from unbelievers. I mean, they're going to be, you know, people, oh, like, I don't believe in God. I, you know, and they're going to chunk them your way. They're going to try to knock you down a notch or two. Sometimes they're going to come from places you don't expect. Those are the ones that really hurt. Here's the key. Who cares? Jesus said that we would be persecuted. In fact, he said we would be blessed when we were persecuted for his name. It's part of the package. So if you want to do this life right, listen to me. You just got to own that. It's part of it. There's always going to be stones, and you can either fix your eyes on them and live in fear, and the Bible says that you will have an unproductive life, or you can fix your eyes on the Savior and say, I don't care what comes my way as long as I'm living for the Christ. Right? It matters. It matters. So that's the second thing. And here's the last lesson. I want you to know that following Jesus is worth more than life itself. Following Jesus is worth more than life itself. So Stephen becomes the first Christian martyr. That word, that phrase martyr, when we speak of a Christian martyr, that means to die. Defending your faith in Jesus. Somebody put you to death because of your belief and your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the first one. Now listen, from this event until today, like Christian historians, religious historians, and demographers, they would say that since this event, 70 million Christians, believers, have been put to death because of their faith in Jesus, because they refuse to deny Christ. 70 million since this first event. You guys follow me? So, Pastor, why are you bringing that up? Because we need to bring it up. Because I think sometimes as American Christians, especially where we live in a free country, where we're able to freely worship and assemble, that we don't understand that this stuff is still going on today. Yeah, 2026, still happening. You're like, no, that couldn't happen anymore. That's not real. Well, listen, you can go online. There's a website called the Esther Project, and they talk about Christian persecution in the world. And so I'm going to give you statistics. And this is per month, by the way, okay? So right now, today, every month, 322 Christians are put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Today, in 2026, right now, as we sit in our air-conditioned room that we often complain about and in our comfy chairs, and we come and we're like, well, I don't like that song, or that guy said something that offended me. I think I'm going to go. So, and they're literally dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. 322 every month, right? Now, it goes beyond that, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed every single month. Burned down, right? I mean defaced, you name it. 722 forms of violence are committed against Christians every single month. Violence like beatings, kidnappings, arrests, rape. Every month, 722 a month. And here's what I'm trying to say to you. This text still matters today. You guys follow me? This stuff still, I know that we will not often experience it. I know that here in America, we won't have to necessarily face that choice where we give up our life because of our faith in Christ. But I do want you to know that every day we have an opportunity to die to ourselves, that we might follow Him. That every day we have an opportunity to die to our sin, that we might live for Him. You guys following me? And listen, this stuff matters. Why is Stephen so willing to do this? Why is he? He's not looking for death, but he's not looking to die, but he now lives for Jesus. Jesus matters more to him than life itself. By the way, that should be the stance of every believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? That Jesus matters more to him than life itself. And you say, why is that? Because of how precious the gospel is, right? Because of how valuable the kingdom is. Jesus tells a couple parables about this. He says there's a man that's walking around, and he's walking through a field, and he stumbles upon a treasure. He finds a treasure, and you know what he does? He buries it again so nobody else will know. He goes and sells everything he possesses so that he can buy that field. He gives everything away that he might have that treasure. He said there's a man walking through the markets, and he finds a pearl, and it's a pearl of great value. So he goes and he sells everything he possesses that he might own that one thing. Those parables are about the kingdom. They're about the gospel. Listen, the gospel calls us to leave everything behind that we might follow Christ. Like, this is the truth, right? Think about the value. The Bible says that we were born into sin, that we were stuck into sin, that we were dead in our trespasses, and that there was nothing that we could do to become unspiritually dead, and we've tried it all. But God loves us so much that He did not make us fix ourselves, but He chose, while we were living in sin, to come down and to live the righteous requirement that the law demanded for us. Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, humbled Himself, lived the perfect life for 33 years. Then He willfully chose to go to the cross and to die in our place, because the payment, the wage of sin, is death. And He did this so whosoever believed might have eternal life and live with God forever. This is the gospel, and it is worth everything. And it is the call that if we're going to receive the gospel, if we're going to come after Jesus, that we have to give Him our life. We have to give Him everything we have. Listen to His own words. Matthew 16, 24 through 25, Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wants to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of Me will find it. In America, unfortunately, In our world today, I think we have a tendency to try to simply add Jesus to our life. Right? I like Jesus. I like this thing. I just kind of want to add him to who I am. But that's not the call. The call is Jesus says, no, you've got to leave it all behind in order to follow me. You see, entering into the kingdom means a great exchange. And here's the exchange. Ready? Jesus gave us his everything, so we must give him our everything. And sometimes I'll talk to people and I don't understand this at all. They'll go, I don't know if I can do that, Pastor. And I'm like, wait, hold on. You've told me over and over and over again that your life is just one big hot mess after another. Like, you tell me over and over about all the brokenness and how you don't like it and you hate what you do. You're saying you can't give that junk to Jesus and receive forgiveness and grace and eternal life, become a citizen of the kingdom, a child of God, an heir? You're not willing to make that exchange? What are you hanging on to? And the Bible answers that question. We're hanging on to poo. That's what Paul says. He says, I consider everything else, he finally saw it clearly, everything else, he says, is dung compared to knowing Jesus. So I ask you today, what are you hanging on to? What's keeping you from making that exchange, all right? So let's talk about what to do because of what we've read. Here's the first. I would really challenge you today to not reject Jesus, but to receive him. Don't reject Jesus today. If you're hearing the gospel today, don't reject him, receive him. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Listen, the crowd had their mind made up. Amen? They had their mind made up. Like, they were going to charge him with blasphemy. Like, they were already, I don't care what this dude says, we're going to kill him. Like, they had false witnesses, they were all in. I remember there was a time in my life back in high school. Okay, I dated a girl that was a believer, and I was not, but I could play one on TV if I slept at a Holiday Inn Express. So I would go to church, and I remember going into church, and I remember first time, and this guy's like preaching, and so like the second time I go, I'm like, I don't care what that guy says, I ain't doing it. I'm not raising a hand. I'm not walking an aisle. I had that like all the time. I'm just not doing it. I had predetermined when I got up that morning, I got dressed, like I'm going to go. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to listen to it. But man, I'm not going to give my whole life to that. I'd predetermined. Maybe that's you. Maybe you came in today and you're invited by a friend. You're like, man, I'm just coming because they invited me. But I'm not doing it. Man, don't be those people. Don't be that crowd. Don't reject what's before you. Eternal life is before you. Don't hang on to the dung, man. It's not worth it. Beautiful exchange. Give God all of your, you could fill in that blank however you choose to. I'm going to say mess. And receive from him all of his goodness and love and grace, forgiveness, right? Become a child of God today. Do it today. And if you'd like to do that in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to ask Jesus to come into your life. But if you're like, I don't know how comfortable I feel, you can always text this word. It's always here. You can take a picture of it. You can text it later today. But you can always text the word Jesus to 512-777-0137. We will follow up with you, I promise. It's what we do. And so I'll start there. The second thing I would say to you is I really want to challenge you to get full on God's word. All right? Get full on God's word. What you fill yourself with is what flows out. You guys follow me? So fill yourself with the word of God. Four times a week, that's the number. At least four times a week. Getting God's word at least four times a week. We know statistically this is what brings about the most change. If you interact with God's word at least four times a week, your life is more likely to stand out and be different than any other. That's the number. At least four times a week. And so we actually put out a devotional. It's a five-day devotional. Imagine that. Going a little above. And you can do that. It's on our website. It's called Digging Deeper. And you can walk through just on a deeper level everything we talk about here on Sunday morning. So it's not a foreign concept to you. You're like, oh, yeah, now that makes sense. Now that clicks. Four times, that's the number. What you fill yourself with is what will flow out, okay? By the way, I'll just drop this here. What I love about Stephen's sermon is his knowledge of the history, right? Of the big picture of salvation. If you've ever wondered what that looked like, we spent about a year and a half intentionally talking about the big picture of the Bible. And so you can go onto our Apple iTunes store and you can find it on our website too. But we did the Gospel BC, which started all the way back in Genesis, and it walked through God's plan of redemption through the Old Testament, all the major stories. And then we just wrapped up the Jesus story, which talks about why Jesus came and how we can receive eternal life. If you want a big picture so that you fill yourself up with that knowledge, so that when God presents that opportunity, the Holy Spirit pours it forth, those are great things that you can listen to as you're doing a workout, as you're driving to work, those kind of things. Okay, last thing. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to spend so much time with Jesus that you shine. Spend so much time with Jesus that you shine. Paul talks about shining like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. That's Philippians 2, 15 and 16. And I believe what Paul is talking about there is what theologians would call the Shekinah glory. Okay, that word Shekinah comes from an Old Testament word that means to dwell. And when Moses would go and dwell with God in the tent of meeting, the Bible says when he walked out, his face would glow. It would radiate the glory of God. Literally, people were like, ah! Like, they would see and be like, something's different about you. And listen, I'm just telling you, I believe in the Shekinah glory of God. I believe we see it in this very text, Acts 6, 15. And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like what? Like the face of an angel. Now, I just believe this. If you spend time with the Lord consistently, people, you'll hear it, right? Some of you have heard it. There's just something different about you. It's like they can visibly see that there's something. You haven't even told them yet, but they're like, what's going on? You're just kind of glowing. What's different about you? Oh, man, it's the Lord. It's the work that God is doing in me, right? Spend so much time with the Lord that you radiate his glory, man. That's God's plan for your life, is that you would radiate and reflect his glory to a watching world, okay? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to pray this morning. We're going to dim the lights. Don't let it freak you out. But I want to talk to both unbelievers and believers in Christ this morning. And so as we dim the lights, if you're one of my prayer partners, if you want to make your way to where you're going to be this morning, we would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. But I want to say this morning. Every week, we want to have an opportunity as we preach the gospel. Our goal is to preach it every week, to have an opportunity for somebody. If you walked in the doors and maybe you came in like I did back in high school, and you came in and your heart was set on not giving your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I prayed some kind of prayer, but I don't know, there's never really been a change in my life. And I talked about that exchange today and it clicked for you. You're like, I've never really fully given myself to the Lord, and you need to do that today. Guys, what stands before you is this great exchange. Give Jesus your junk and receive from him forgiveness and grace and eternal life. If you would like that, like to make that exchange today with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand for a moment? Just be real brave and say, man, I want that. I want that life of God that you just spoke about, Pastor. That's what I want more than anything else. Man, I thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else right now this morning, just say, man, that's me. I want that life. I need that forgiveness. All right. If you raise your hand, just eye contact with me real quick. You want to look up here? I see you. And so listen, don't worry. Hey, just you and me. Just you and me. The Bible says that we receive that salvation, right? We have to believe, so it's going to come through belief. And we typically do that here just through a little confessional prayer. But I know what it's like to feel like you're all alone. So here's the cool thing. The whole church is about to pray with you. You are not alone, okay? You're not alone. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to confess to God that we have sinned, right? We've all sinned. Anytime we do what doesn't please God, say what doesn't please God, think what doesn't please, like, well, there's a long list there, right? We know that we've done that, and we know that no matter how hard we try, we can't clean ourselves up, right? We need forgiveness that can only come by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. So today, if you're ready, let's make an exchange. Your life for his, okay? You get his eternal life. You get his forgiveness. You become a child of God today. And so, church, let's pray together. Let's pray out loud. Dear God, I come to you right now. Confess, I have sinned. I have turned away from you so many times. And no matter how hard I try, I can't fix myself. I'm stuck. But Jesus, today I heard that you came to do for me what I couldn't. And that if I ask, that you will come into my life and you will forgive me. Jesus, please come. Here I am. Take all of me from this day forward. teach me how to live for you. I am yours. Amen. Amen. Amen.